This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
The Ribbono Shel Olam instructs Noach to come into the ark, he, his family, and the animals, and he says, Mikol ha-behemo ha-tohelo tikach l'cho shivo shivo, from all the animals that are kosher, you must take to yourself 7 7, ish v'ishtoi, man and his wife, min ha-behemo ha-sher lo tohelo yishnayim ish v'ishtoi, and from the behemoths, the animals which are not kosher, also shnayim, 2, man and wife. Ask Moshe Bruce, what's this ish v'ishtoi business, man and wife? Socher and the Kevah should say, male and female. Who's ever heard of an animal having a wife and a husband? That's his first question. And later on, in fact, in the parasha, does talk about Socher and the Kevah. This is very peculiar. It only says, only here does it say ish v'ishtoi. And stranger still is that none of the Mephoshim say anything about it. But Moshe Brisk is a true Brisk, as he correctly said, and he prepares the answer already before he comes with the question. And he finds that the Gemara asks the same question. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Kufches Amud Beis asks, Mikola Beima Atehiro Tikach Lecha Shiva Shiva Ish V'ishto, asks the Gemara, Ishus Lebehema Mi Itla? Have we ever heard of marriage in animals? Ish v'ishto, man and wife, it implies that they're married. Who's ever heard of animals getting married? Asks the Gemara. So to start with, Moshe's question is recorded in the Gemara for posterity. Answer the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Omer Rabbi Yonasan, Nei oisom sheloi nevdo bohem aveira. It's only those animals came which had not yet done any aveiras. Those animals which had not yet committed aveiras were the only ones that came. What does that mean? So the Oruch explains that it means that they hadn't had relations with animals of another category. Only animals had stuck to their own species came into the Teva, other animals didn't. So the Gemara discusses how Noach was able to know which animals had been faithful to their own species and which hadn't. That's what the Oruch says. But Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says the following, Ishus libehemo mi itlei. Rashi explains, what's the kasha of the Gemara? Is the Ishus to an animal? Nekevo achas mishkeves lekama zochoriv. In the animal kingdom, one female has relations with many males, the ein zu Ishus, and that is not Ishus. So we find in Rashi already a definition as to what is Ishus. And the first thing in Ishus he says is the faithfulness of the female to one male. And if there isn't that faithfulness, ends the issues, that's not issues. So we don't find that in the animal world. Sorry, I'm going to need a Rambam, first volume of the Rambam, if you can just get me a Rambam while you're there. Answers the Gemara, Shelo nevdo ben aveira, it's talking about an animal of which is done now aveira. Says Rashi, Shelo nizkiku ela leben zuga. Those animals, they were specific animals who had only had relationships with their own spouses. And those animals came into the table. Animals that had not been faithful to their own specific spouses did not come into the table. That's what Rashi said. So Moshe just carries on asking, and he's still not satisfied. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks. Ooh, I made a mistake. Sorry. I need Noshim. I need Chelik Noshim. Probably second or third, but just check. And Moshe Brisk reminds us that we had a shiur not so long ago where we discussed a very outstanding akedah. The akedah says in Shah Ches that the male-female relationships among human beings are completely different to the male-female relationships among animals. The Gemara says that strange Gemara which one needs to understand Pshat, in an akedah gives Pshat. In the piece of Chumash, you'll remember where before God actually makes a partner for Adam, he brings all the animals to Adam to give them, that he should give them names, to study the, to give each species a name. And the Gemara says that what's the connection between that and between the creation of Chava, his wife? And the Gemara says that Odom had relations with every animal and didn't find a wife among them, didn't find a suitable spouse. And then the Ribbono Shel Olam made him have it. Of course, that chazar cannot be taken literally. It doesn't mean that Odom had relations with every animal. It explains that Akedo, he studied the sexual habits of every animal and found that their whole sociology was not suitable to him. The way they lived together, male and female, he can't live together like that, male and female. That's not what he needs. He needs a new creation of a sexual life. Something different to anything that exists up to that point in the animal world. Needs to be formed and needs to be created. What is the difference of that case? So he says there, male and female were created on the same day. They're absolutely equal. The only difference is one is male and one is female. What is the purpose of their creation? It's for the continuation of the species, that the species should not become wiped out. That's why they're males and females. But Adam is not so. Adam is created on his own. And on his own he's able to reproduce. There's one day in the Gemara that he was created in a sort of hermaphrodite way where he could do patsufim, he could reproduce himself, he didn't need a wife. And the wife is then evolved out of him. The Ribbono Shel Olam develops and evolves Chava out of Adam himself. And he shows also that the word Isha is not just the feminine of Ish. If Isha was the feminine of Ish, he should either have been called Adonah, says the Akedah. Adam is the male, and Adonah should be the female. Or Isha with a Yud, Aleph Yud Shin He, because the root, the male root is Aleph Yud Shin, and you should just add a He at the end, and that's what she should be called. But she's not, she's called Isha without a Yud, which indicates it's a new word. So he says, Isha's relationship to Ish is like the word Noach's relationship to the word Yenachamenu. Right? Which means you're developing a concept. That Noach, it doesn't mean that Noach is the same as Yenachamenu, but the word Nachamenu, so they take Noach, a similar word with a similar root, not exactly the same, and it's a concept developed out of that. So you've got, whenever they give names in the Torah, the word is taken from a concept. So it says, Chava is a concept, she's a development of the Ish, of the man. She's not just the female version of the man. She's a further development of the man. She comes from the man, she completes the man. That's what Chava is. And therefore, by the way, the Akedah adds, she has to be very submissive. Very accommodating, very kind to him. And the Ikrim as well, the Ikrim is in Maimer Gimel and Perik Beis. The Ikrim says it's in the sexual relationships between man and wife and woman, between human man and woman, that one sees so much of the difference between the animal world and the man and the human world. The animal world, he says, there is nothing that the male requires from the female or the female from the male other than their sexual fulfillment and the continuation of the species. Whereas in the male-female, in the human male-female relationship, there's a whole lot other apart from that. There's a society, there's a home, there's a family, there's companionship, there's health, there's a whole world of relationship quite apart from the sexual relationship. The sexual relationship forms only one small part of the relationship between man and wife in the human version, as opposed to that in the animal version. And so, it's Moshe Brisk. So what does Rashi now say? That there is issues to them, that can be. But there were animals here, that there was one animal, it was one where the wife is absolutely faithful to the husband. So what is unique about the human being? And this we have to understand, that if we're going to understand Rashi, we have to understand that if it's feasible for animals also to preserve faithfulness, what really is the difference between the human being and the animal in this particular area? Now the Maharsha has a great deal of difficulty with this Rashi, and the Maharsha says that Rashi means the same as the Oruch. The Rashi does not mean that it's actually one animal was faithful to one specific spouse, because that's not natural. There's no reason for an animal to be faithful to a specific spouse. The equivalent to an animal, or that which what a human being calls faithfulness in marriage, the animal calls faithfulness according to species. That's it. Because to an animal, all the males are the same and all the females are the same. They're just, it's one species, male, female. That's the distinction. And apart from that, they're all exactly the same. It doesn't matter which one you marry. Human beings, everyone is an individual. As the Ikrim says, the purpose in the animal world is the development of the species. The purpose in the human world is the development of the individual. That's the difference. The animals are there to keep the species going. Human beings are there to keep the individual going. The most precious part of human society is the individual. The most precious part of animal society is the species. And we see that in the halachas as well, that the halachas referring to animals concern themselves a great deal with the species. When it comes to human beings, we concern ourselves much more with the individual. And therefore, says the Ma'asho, it is not unreasonable for Rashi to be saying that what we call marital fidelity in the animal world, it means each one according to its meaning, each one according to its particular species, and that they didn't cross species, and they didn't have relationships across the species bar. That's what Rashi means. But the Ma'asho is difficult. The Ma'asho is difficult for two reasons. The first reason is that Rashi doesn't say that. One has to be very careful with the Ma'asho, because as we've seen in when we do halacha in the Gemara, when the Ma'asho gives a pshat in Rashi, he's not telling you one of the ways you can learn Rashi. He's telling you exactly what Rashi means. There's very little argument about it. And in Agoda too, one can't exactly argue with the Ma'asho. But nevertheless, the Ma'asho is difficult. The two difficulties are, firstly, Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says very specifically different to the Oruch. The Oruch says that. Rashi says, Nekeva achas nishkeves mekama zechorim. One female with several males, the inzuishus. He doesn't say with a zocher from another species. He says with several males. One female with several males, inzuishus. That's not called marriage, that's not called issues. And the Gemara answers, Shulinevda ben aveli, Shuliniskiku elon ben zugum. It doesn't say leben nino. Leben zugum, to its own spouse. And furthermore, there's a Gemara in Eruvin on that Kuf HaMadayr, where the Gemara says, the famous Gemara, that Yomali Nishmat Seder, the Seder would not have been given, we could learn the Midas from the animals. Every animal has one specific Midas, and we could study all the animals, and we could take together all the different Midas, and together we would find the right Midas that need to be in the Gemara. Lists a few examples. And one of the examples is that we would learn Arayas Miyayna, we would learn about sexual infidelity from the yoina, from the pigeon. Why, says Rashi, she'eino nizkok elo lebazuga, because he only has relationships with his spouse. Here again, we see Rashi using the same term, bazuga, and it doesn't mean ben mina, because there are many animals that stick to their own species. That's normal among animals, that they should stick to their own species. It's a deviation from normality when they cross breed. And here the Gemara says, from the Yonah, one animal that has this fidelity, which Rashi says, she'ena nistak ena lebazugya, what does that mean? One spouse, that's what's special about the pigeon. So here too, when Rashi talks about ben zugya, it would appear that he's talking about an individual spouse, not just that there's faithfulness to the species, but there's actual faithfulness to the individual spouse. And secondly, we see also that the Ma'asho is worried that it's unnatural for animals to stick to one spouse. You see, it's not unnatural. There is an animal that does it, and that animal is praised for it, the yoina, and we would learn from the yoina. So we see that it's not impossible for an animal to retain absolute marital fidelity to one specific spouse. There is such a concept. And if that is the case, that it is possible, in other words, what we're saying is that it's decadent of animals not to keep to a specific spouse. There's a certain decadence in that. Really, correctly, the animals should stick to one spouse, like the yoina. And those are the animals that came into the yoina. In that case, what do we do with the akedah? What do we do with the ikrin? This whole principle that the male-female relationships, the issues of the human being, is unique and special, and it doesn't exist at all in the animal world. Firstly, what is it that creates the loyalty? When we talk about marital faithfulness, what is it that creates that loyalty? The principle that issues is that loyalty, that's our first principle. That where a male and female are loyal to one another, that's issues. If there is not that loyalty, that's not called issues. What creates that loyalty in halacha is marriage. The act of getting married. The Gemara says in Kiddushin that there are three ways of getting married. The keset, ishtar, uvavir. The act of getting married can occur either with money, as we do it today with a ring, with gold, or with a shtar, one can write a document declaring one's marriage, or bevir, through sexual relations. If one actually has a sexual relationship with a shem Kiddushin, one does it, but the idea of this is that hereby, I hereby marry you, then that also, thereafter, the woman would need a get. She would need a formal divorce if she wanted to split up. Let's take kesef. A man gives a woman a golden ring. Now, it doesn't matter what he gives. It can be something very, very small. It can be something very, very valuable. It doesn't matter. The principle is the same. He's given her a golden ring. What does that do? That creates a commitment. Once one has received something from another person, one is committed. And that committee, a commitment cannot just be ignored. It can be dissolved. There are ways you can dissolve a commitment. You can give something back. There can be a divorce. There are all sorts of ways that one can dissolve a commitment, but a commitment cannot be ignored. And once one has received something, however small, from another person, one is already committed. There's already a concept of hakkodes hakkoyes. There's a concept of being committed in terms of a debt of gratitude. There's nothing one can do about that. Exactly the same as with a shtar. If you sign a contract, you go and you take a job with somebody and the contract is signed, you're committed. That piece of paper commits you to a loyalty and to a faithfulness. How does it do it? That's what it is. The piece of paper is an undertaking on both sides. I will give you something in exchange for your commitment and loyalty. That's a kinyan. When we talk about a kinyan, we're talking about a real and permanent change. A change of ownership, a change of loyalty. That's what it is. If I take my pen and I give it to you and we make a kinyan and we lift it up as an act of kinyan, there's a change of loyalty. The pen now serves you. It doesn't serve me anymore. It now belongs to you. You need to care for it, and it needs to serve you. I have no rights over it anymore, and it has no obligations to me. And so it is with all kinyonim. A kinyon is a change of relationship. It's a change of mastery. It's a change of dedication and a change of loyalty. And a document is, a shtar is, you are mekudes to me with this shtar. By this shtar I marry you, or I employ you, or whatever it is. And that creates a commitment which cannot be ignored. Likewise, the mere giving of a ring, the mere giving of something physical, of something of value, from one person to another, creates a permanent obligation on the part of the receiver of documents. You don't want to be obligated, don't take. But the moment you take, you're obligated. In business in America, from what my father tells me, and increasingly so here, this principle is used tremendously. The concept of he owes me a favor. The concept of doing a favor for the person, because then he owes me a favor and I can go back to him sometime. And the care sometimes not to accept a favor from somebody else, because then I'm going to owe him a favor. It's something which is used a lot and which is capitalized on a lot. A particular person once came to my father in America and asked him to approach a few wealthy people with him to collect money for the yeshiva. And luckily, although it was early in his stay there, he realized already how things work there. If he as a rov would approach a few of the wealthy people, that's fine, they would give very nicely. But from then on they would have a hold over him. At that point it would never be forgotten that they did him the favor and they gave to such and such an institution at his request. And there would come the time, which in fact happened later on, except he didn't owe anybody a favor, where a marriage had to be performed on somebody who was not correctly converted, where a bar mitzvah had to be performed in a hall which belongs to the reform, all these things. And the rabbi has to go because of all the favors I've done for you. You owe it to me. And rabbonim find themselves increasingly, rabbonim who in America today do a lot of fundraising, find themselves increasingly in situations where they can't say no. They can't afford to say no. If they say no, a lot of income stops to the shul, which can jeopardize their job. And that's it. Once you've received something from a person, you are permanently indebted. If you don't want the responsibility of indebtedness, don't take. But we've spoken before about that, and we've spoken about the fact that the Jewish attitude is not that I avoid indebtedness by not taking. I avoid a debt indebtedness by trying to pay back. That's how we do it. We don't not take from one another. Rather we take, and we try and pay back more than we took. And when you've got a society where everybody is taking but trying to pay back more than they're taking, then you've got a beautiful society. You've got a society of give and take. You've got a society of dynamics. You've got a society of people doing things for one another, of wanting to do more and more for one another because they feel indebted to one another. A society where nobody takes from anybody is a cold, stagnant, sterile sick society. That's not what we want. We want a society that a person knows how to receive, he knows how to take, and all he wants to do is to pay back more than he's ever taken. In one currency or in another, it makes no difference, but in whatever way he can, to pay back more than he's taken. Once one's taken, one is indebted, and that's how Kinyan works. But there's a big chiddush in that first Mishnah in Kiddushin, and that is that Bia is also a form of Kinyan. But through the sexual relationship itself, there is already a permanent indebtedness. That's not the way that Chazal recommend we go about getting married, nor is it ever practiced. But in theory, the concept is there, that just as giving a ring creates a permanent commitment, so a deal creates a permanent commitment. And the concept that was developed in the 1960s of free love is a contradiction in terms of no such thing. If it's free, it's not love. If it's love, it's not free. If there's no commitment, it isn't love. If there's love, there's a commitment. That's how it is. There's no way that there can be deal, that there can be sexual intimacy and not permanent commitment. That much. So much so that even an animal is capable of appreciating that. An animal who doesn't have kiddushin, an animal who doesn't have a chuppah, and he doesn't have giving a ring, and he doesn't have a best man, and he doesn't have pole holders, and he doesn't have a rabbi officiating, he doesn't even have a chazan and a choir at his wedding. But he's able to understand that merely deal, just the fact that we're living together, the yeno, the dove, the pigeon, that's permanent commitment. There is such a thing. And when it comes to choosing the animals for the table, the Ribbono Shel Olam says to Noach, Ish v'ishta, only those who have marital fidelity. It's not beyond an animal. Even an animal can understand that. It's not easy for an animal to understand that. It's not normal or natural for an animal to understand that. But it's possible for an animal to achieve that level where he understands that the commitment of bia is sufficient to make a permanent commitment. That's all you need. Already there's been sufficient give and take to make it permanent. That's how it is. Animals do understand HaKodos HaTzoyim. How did Yeshayahu say in the beginning there? An ox knows its balabos. A donkey, at least, if he doesn't know his balabos, but he at least knows who gives him food. It's not against an animal's nature to have a HaKodos HaTzoyim, to feel permanently indebted to somebody who's given him something. That's part of being an animal. Human beings who have difficulty with that concept, but an animal has no difficulty with that concept. And Yeshayahu, please, how is it that you don't realize what a simple animal can realize? That an animal realizes. And a mere sexual relationship creates sufficient bondage, sufficient indebtedness and gratitude in an animal, even in an animal, to make fidelity part of its life thereafter. It's possible even for an animal to understand this. How much more so for a human being? But when a man is given of his most intimate, and a woman is given of her intimate, of her most intimate, for either of them to go and forget about that, and forget about the faithfulness, and forget about the debt of gratitude that there is, that's something which is even below an animal dignity, never mind a human dignity. So that explains what an animal, how an animal operates, and how the animal gets his faithfulness. But then what is the difference, Tatya, between marriage and an animal and marriage and a human being? If an animal too can have issues, if the maskona of the Gemara here is not as the Maharshal says, the Maharshal says no, there's no issues for an animal. What this Gemara means is talking about faithfulness to the species. But Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says there is issues, and the conclusion here is that there is issues in an animal. The Yoma has issues, the animals which came into the Teva have issues. It's possible for an animal to develop to the stage where he understands the principle of issues. So what's the difference between an animal's sex life and a human being's sex life? What is the difference between issues in an animal and issues in a human being? There are two different concepts, and we must be careful not to confuse them. The one is issues, which we have discussed. And issues, Rashi has defined as sexual fidelity. But there's another concept, and that is kiddushin, sanctification. The Rambam says, Koidim Matan Torah, the beginning of Sefer Moshe, Koidim Matan Torah, before the giving of the Torah, Hoyo Odom Pogea Isho Bishut, a man with bump into a woman in the marketplace, imrotso hu vihi miso, so if both of them wanted to get married, machniso v'tor beisa, he would say, come home with me and have a cup of coffee, uvayala, and they would have relations, beinu levei natsmo, just in private, v'tiyelo liisha, and from there on they were married. That's how it used to be before Matan Torah and after the 1960s. He accepted after the 1960s it was no longer the Tiyeloi Le'isha. It was just the Tiyeloi as a convenience, no longer as a wife. that the rest of the procedure was much the same. And we think we're progressing. We're back to where we were 3,000 years ago. Before the Torah was given, we've gone back to. Kivan shenitna Torah, once the Torah was given, mitzdavu Yisrael, Yisrael being commanded, shem yirseho ish nisa isha, that if a man wants to marry a woman, yikne oisa tchilo bifne eidim, he must acquire her first before eidim. You understand what that means in a moment. V'achakach tchilo l'isha, and then, then she can be his wife. Two stages. That was the chiddush in marital relationships after Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, it was one stage. You want a wife, take a wife. Now there's a stage in between. You want a wife, you claim her. First acquire her. Only when you've acquired her can she become your wife. The likuchim elu mitzvah aseh, and this likuchim is a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah, and the nikroim, it is called kiddushi. That's called sanctification. What sounds so mercenary, we call kiddush. You must be koneh. The literal meaning is you must buy her. Once you bought her, you can marry her. And that purchasing, says the Rambam, is a mitzvah, and it's called kiddush. When we take that ring, which is money, it's gold. That's why we use gold. It's currency. And under the chuppah, it's a plain and simple purchase. Here you are. This ring is worth 200 rand. Will you give yourself to me for the rest of your life for 200 rand? She says yes. Funny things, and when he's in love, one says all sorts of funny things. But she does it. 200 rand's worth, and she gives herself away. It's a kinyan, he buys her. It's a plain and simple purchase in front of witnesses. It's a legal transaction. A dry, unromantic, simple legal transaction. And yet that is called kiddushin. Why? What's kiddushin about it? What's so special about it? What's special about it is that we put the lekicha before the nisuin, we put the purchase before the marriage. It's the order which is kiddush. To buy the woman first, and the marriage is later. And in the old days, don't forget, there was a year before the purchase and the marriage. 12 months before the purchase and the marriage. Now, even now, we try and have a little speech in between the purchase and the marriage, and we read the ksuba in Hebrew and in English, and we shnebet out a little bit. So that there should be a little visa stage between the lekicha and the kiddushin, between the lekicha and the nisuin and the marriage. To put the lekicha first, that's the kiddushin. Why? Why am I buying her? If I'm buying her because I just want her for my sexual gratification, then I should do it the way we did it before Matan Torah. What do we have to go through this whole big business with witnesses and a whole lot? When I met her that evening at wherever it was. No, even that they didn't have before Matan Torah. When I met her once before at a cafe when we were having coffee one evening, I should have taken her home that night and finished. We should have been married. What's it going to do with everybody here? Why such a public thing? If that's what I need her for. The answer is, that's not what I need her for. I need her as a companion. I need her as somebody to compliment me. I need her as somebody to develop me and to help develop me. I need her as somebody to help me build a home with. A whole different concept. That's why I'm taking this. Now that she is mine, and specifically mine, there can be issues as well. Now there can be a sexual relationship as well. But that's second, not first. And that's the difference between the man and the animal. We think that what's the difference between the man and the animal, the Havamin of the Gemara, is there's no issues in an animal, that an animal has no issues. No, says the Gemara, an animal could have issues. It's possible for even an animal to understand marital fidelity. That is not what is unique by a human being. A human being who observes marital fidelity is simply observing a basic animal code. That's all. The fact that most animals don't keep it is because they're not on the level. But in theory, there's nothing that an animal can't understand about that, and there have been animals and there are animals that do stick to marital fidelity. You don't have to be a human being for that. You're less than an animal if you don't have that. That's not what's unique about it. What's unique about us is kiddushin. But before the issues, it is lekicha. And we understand that before we get married, we do the contract. Because the contract is there to establish a relationship and a friendship and a partnership for two people to build a future together. And the sexual and physical relationship between them is merely an expression of that and a small part of that. It's not the essential basis of it, and it's not the foundation of it. And that is the difference. So the answer to Moshe's question is yes. Talks about ish v'ishto. The Torah wanted specifically those animals which are male and female. Not only male and female, but are man and wife who are faithful to one another, Hayat Moshe, that we learned that is something very exclusive to the human being, to the human race. No, the answer is that is not exclusive to the human race. The Gemara tells us in Eruvim, the pigeons and doves even preserve marital fidelity. That's not exclusive to the human race. What is exclusive to the human race is that we understand that before Ishus comes the Kichur, that Ishus is only a small part of the marital relationship. Our marital fidelity comes before the sexual relationship. It's not as a result of it. It's not because of the sexual intimacy. Now I owe my wife and my wife owes me fidelity. It's not like that. We owe each other fidelity to start with, because we're partners and we're committed to one another. Once we're committed to one another, we can permit ourselves the intimacy which is part of Ishus. With an animal, it works the other way around. Starts with the Ishus. It starts with the physical relationship. As a consequence of that, there is fidelity. And I see from that how far the society in which we live has gone. So not only is there no lekicha before an Ishus, it is not even an Ishus altogether. Not only aren't we on the level of how it was supposed to be after Matan Torah, we aren't even on the level of how it was before Matan Torah. Not only aren't we on the level of how it was before Matan Torah, we're not even on the level of the animals that went into Noah's ark. We talk glibly about Noah and this and that. We don't know where we are. Our society is operating on the level lower than the animals that lived in Noah's ark. That's the society, that's the norms in which we're operating. And that's how careful we need to be to make sure that our norms and that our standards are developed only from the Torah and are kept pure according to the Torah, and that we don't pick anything up from the streets around about us. I'm sorry it's such a short show, ladies.